now committed Hadley's earthly body to be cremated. We've entrusted his soul to the care of the Lord Jesus Christ, awaiting the glorious day of his resurrection. Saying farewell to someone is not easy. In many ways, grieving is an ongoing process, but part of that process is remembering that person's life, giving thanks for them in our hearts, but also giving thanks to God for them. That's what we've gathered this afternoon to do, as we show our respects to Hadley in the context of our worship of Almighty God. We've come to remember the ways in which Hadley was special to each one of us individually in our different relationships to him, whether it was as part of his family, whether it was as a neighbour or a friend, whether it was collectively as part of the local church here where Hadley worshipped for so many years. We want to think of our experiences of his life as he touched our lives in so many different ways. And as we remember and give thanks for Hadley's long life and full life, we're going to hear the good news of Jesus Christ that Hadley knew and loved, and we can know comfort from God through him as we trust in him. So let's just begin with a prayer, and then we're going to sing a hymn together. So let's just pray. Almighty God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that you are worthy of the worship of all of our hearts and lives, because you are the creator of all things. You are our maker, and we owe you everything. We praise you that the Lord Jesus Christ, through his powerful word, today is sustaining the universe, giving life and breath to creation, providing all things that we need for every day. We thank you that you are the God who has a perfect plan that is being worked out moment by moment for the saving of your people across the world. Thank you that there is no one and nothing that can stop you fulfilling your purposes through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that all who trust in him will be eternally safe. Lord, as we seek you in worship, we confess that we fall far short of your glory in many different ways. We so often just selfishly go on in our lives, taking from you without ever stopping to say thank you or consider your ways and your will. So we pray that you would forgive us for our sins of this day, of our lives, because of Jesus and what he has done in his death on the cross. And we pray that you would draw near to each one of us this afternoon, that you would strengthen us, uphold us, and enable us to remember Hadley and his life with thanksgiving, with a sense of joy and contentment, as well as a sense of loss in saying farewell. We do particularly pray again for Lil at this time of grief, that this time of remembrance will be helpful for her in thanking you for Hadley's life and all that he meant to her. And we pray for Judith and John and David and Paul and for all of their families, for those who knew Hadley in other relationships within the family. Lord, that you would give them understanding of your sufficiency in the Lord Jesus Christ to comfort them in all of their needs. And we pray for each one of us that we would know your peace. Lord, we thank you that you know each one of us better than we know ourselves, that you have loved us more than we could ever really imagine or understand. Help us to look to you and to trust in your compassion and care through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, our hymns this afternoon are going to be projected up on the screen. Just put the hymn up if you can't see it. There are some hymn books and something of Hadley's life, first of all, from his son Paul, as he brings a tribute on behalf of the family. And then Jeff Warren, one of the elders of the church here, who's known Hadley for over 40 years, is going to tell us a little bit about his life and service as part of the church here. So, Paul, over to you.
Hello to everybody. Thank you on behalf of Lil and the rest of us for coming here today. Harry Harris. My dad, where do I begin? He was never one to be conventional. Like when we were kids, he took us to the cinema the one time, and as we got to the front, he looked at me and said, "I haven't got enough money for you." He said, "Dad, what do I do?" Dad said, "When we get near the front, turn around and walk in backwards." I asked him why, Dad, and he said, "That way they think you're leaving. And I haven't got to pay for you." And to this day, I don't know whether he did pay or not. But as a child, you believed every word our dad said. And when you become an adult, he could be full of words of wisdom. He stood by his words, his morals and his beliefs, and he was never afraid to speak his mind. Whether you wanted to hear it or not, he said it. But at the same time, if he said something to upset you, he'd be the first to hold his hand out and try and help you. But also our dad, Harry, was a family man, and he always tried to show us the right way. But as a person himself, he was physically and mentally the family's rock. He was solid, pure individual. He was consistent, and he never deviated from his faith or his beliefs. We all look back upon fond memories that Harry has given to all of us. We've all got a story to tell. He never ceased to amaze all of us. Like the time our mother couldn't find him in the house, and she went and looked out the front bedroom window and saw him out in the street skipping with the kids. The only thing was, he was in his 70s then. And there was another occasion when I told Dad I wanted to finish early because I got to go out, and he'd got my dog Milo, and some of you remember Milo, that was his partner. And Mum had said, "You better be back in time, Paul's got to pick up the dog." When I got round to Lil's, Harry wasn't there, neither was the dog. We sat there waiting for half an hour come by, then our dad turned up. Mum told him off, he got sunburn on his head, he got one shoe, he'd gone to the park and fell asleep by a tree, and the dog had took his shoe off and gone off with it. And by the time Harry had walked around, he then realised the dog had took his hat, so he got sunburn. But that was our dad. He was always full of laughs. He had that ability to embarrass all of us, which he frequently did. He was loved by all of us, and he was fun, and sometimes he was quite mischievous with the things he did. Up on the estate that we grew up on, he was like the Pied Piper. He would just come out in the street, everybody would gather around Mr. Harris, and he'd take us over the rifle range, which was like our back garden. He didn't need money, all he needed was some sweets and a stick, and he would take you off on these adventures of showing you things, entertaining you. But also with Harry, he was a great dad, a great grandfather, and a great grandfather to all of us. And going back to our childhoods, if we never went to bed without a story being told, most of the times he didn't read from a book, he just told you things, and you believed it, of all the things he did, and all the things he'd seen, and just made things up with it. Well, I can say from myself and the rest of us that we're all proud to be sons of Harry, and daughter and grandchildren of Harry. And I just know where he's gone now, and I know he'll be looking down upon us, probably sat there with a dog Milo, a couple of biscuits, probably a mess everywhere, Lil. But that's our dad. I'd like to thank everybody again for turning up. There's not much more I can say, because it does make you choke up. But he was a character, and I am proud to have him as my father. Thank you.
Well, I've got a little sort of a joke to start with, as you gave us some good jokes. When Carol and I first walked into this building, first time we ever came here, it was in 1976. That's a good time ago. And it was Hadley who greeted us. And this is what he said. He said, "We don't have many problems here. There aren't very many of us." Well, that was only partly true, but I won't tell you which bit. What stands out to us about Hadley and Lil has been their faithfulness to the work of this church, their love of the Bible, and their compassion for people all around us. Those are three things I'd pick out. Hadley and Lil have been members of this church for 61 years. There's two other people here who have also been members of the church for 61 years, Roy and Irene, who came into membership here at this church on the same day in 1950-something. I haven't got that one written down. Well, how did Hadley get to be a Christian? Well, he became a Christian as a result of two people who he worked or knew of through work telling him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And those two people were Dennis Gunston and Jim Youngjohns, who were both involved in this church and leaders of this church. And that was where it started. When this building was put up in the 1950s, it was actually called the Bible Hall. It's the same church now when it's called Kidderminster Evangelical Church. And I know that quite a lot of the work physically building this building where you're in at the moment was carried out by the members. They came home from work. We have some interesting photographs, which you can look at later, of the church members up on the roof, up on the tops of the walls, putting the roof on. So it was very much a community effort. And the building's been extended twice since then, but the original building was largely put up by the members. Church opened here in 1953. And Hadley and Lil were the first people to be married here in this church. So they were important in that respect as well. During the following years, Hadley was involved with the wider ministry of the church, and he participated in particularly outreach efforts down in the town centre, just sharing the faith with people. One quote I rather like: Hadley would stop to talk to anyone, whether they were and he was already to talk to them about the Lord. I'll say that again. Hadley would stop to talk to anyone, whoever they were, and he was always ready to talk to them about the Lord. From the 1980s onwards, this church became more settled in some respects, and we had a full-time pastor for all the years since then. First of all, Francis York was our minister, and now Philip Hearn succeeded him. And Hadley was supportive always to the leadership of the church. He was willing to take on jobs if they needed to be done, and he could do them. He was actually our church secretary for a number of years, and that was a challenge, I'm sure, for him. But he wanted the church to prosper, and he would do all that he could. He and Lil were always faithful to the Lord. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible which almost to me describes the way Hadley was. Solomon wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, it was really an instruction to God's people: whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And I think that was something that we saw in Hadley's life. And it might be doing the menial jobs, gardening or cleaning of the building or some repairs that needed to be done. Now, in more recent years, Hadley's deteriorating health prevented him from being active in that kind of way. But he still remained a man of prayer, a lover of God's word, the Bible. And he still had a heart for the people around him, up in Trimley Drive and round here, his neighbours. He wanted to see people come to a true faith in Jesus Christ. And I think we can assume this afternoon that Hadley is now in heaven, and Jesus is saying to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." If you want to know what Hadley's testimony is, it was written down. At the time that Francis York came here, we produced a booklet which went round all the houses on Sutton Farm, And members of the church, and quite a few of them actually here today, wrote their testimonies in there on that leaflet. I'll just summarise for you how Hadley described how he became a Christian. He says, "It was when I came to Kidderminster that I met a man at one of the factories who had put up on the wall a Bible text, 'Christ died for the ungodly.' To cut a long story short, that was the start of many years in which I found Jesus to be true to his word. I'm not that blind that I can't see that the world today is in real trouble. Only by trusting Jesus can we face whatever lies ahead." That was true in the 1980s. I think it's true today, isn't it? Well, you might like to spend a little time later on over refreshments, looking at some pictures which are out in the rear hall. There are some pictures from the family which have been put together in a lovely collage, so you can see Hadley and Lil at virtually every stage of life. But then we have a number of pictures illustrating Hadley's involvement here in the church and the things he contributed. And I hope you will look at it before you leave. Thank you.
Now I've asked Tony Vickery, who's just going to come and lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving, bringing together some of these thoughts about Hadley's life and the blessings that he's been to us. Giving thanks to God.
Yes, in view of what we've heard, join with me please in a short prayer of thanksgiving for Hadley's life. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we call upon your mercy, confessing our sins and asking you to bear with us and to correct us in our ways, setting us free by our Lord Jesus Christ and giving us spiritual freedom. We offer you now our prayer of thanksgiving for Hadley's life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your merciful providence in Hadley's early years, for keeping him through times of great personal danger, especially through the horrors of war. For your grace in bringing him to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. For the outworking of his faith in his life as a husband to Lil and as a father, grandfather and great-grandfather within his family. For his service to the church. His many encouragements to others. His studies in the scriptures and his desire to share God's word with others. His active prayer life and his practical service. The very bricks and mortar of this church building bearing witness to Hadley's desire to see this congregation established and that it should grow. As we think about the value of Hadley's life, we reflect on the value of his life in your eyes, Heavenly Father, that your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, should lay down his very life upon the cross for Hadley's redemption. The price he paid is the true measure of the value of Hadley's life, and we ask the question, what of ourselves? Grant us then, Heavenly Father, that having been given today a clear pledge of your favour towards us in the Lord Jesus, we may now devote ourselves to you and to give you that love, service and obedience which is your due as our Father, that we may live our lives as your adopted children, until, at the end, we may receive our reward being gathered into your eternal kingdom together with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're going to stand and sing again. This time the hymn is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Otherwise, just listen to God's word.
The reading comes from Isaiah chapter 55. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree. Instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Amen.
You may be thinking that reading from Isaiah chapter 55 that we've just heard was chosen for this service to remember another aspect of Hadley's life, which was never far from his heart: food. Hadley loved food. He enjoyed his food. He was particularly partial to ice cream, I believe, but I know he was partial to trifle, and often he liked the two together, and as much as possible, and especially if it was free. Who can blame him? Who of us would not be willing to receive the gift of good food for free? Who'd be foolish enough to reject such an offer when we're in need? Now, it's true that that chapter of the Bible does paint a picture of the free offer of good food, but actually it was chosen to be read because it really speaks about something even closer to Hadley's heart than food. In this chapter, God speaks very vividly, but also invitingly, about his offer of free forgiveness and eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ to anyone who will receive it. This chapter just simply speaks, if I can sum it up, of God's grace in Jesus Christ. Now that is something and someone that Hadley dearly loved more than food. He never grew tired of speaking about God's grace in Jesus Christ to anyone and everyone he met, even though some people mocked him as a fool, even though other people ignored everything he had to say about it, thinking it was no more than religious superstition and irrelevant to their real lives. Part of me thinks, as we think about Hadley this afternoon, that he would be a bit embarrassed to hear some of the things that have been spoken about him and so much attention being put on him. Now, it's not that Hadley didn't like to talk about his life and experiences. If you had time to listen, he'd be happy to talk to you. He could tell you about growing up in the East End of London. He could tell you about what it was like to be a child during the war. He would tell you about his memories of Korea. But what struck me every time I spoke to him and he spoke to me about these things is that he never seemed to do it without also recognizing God's undeserved mercy towards him in all of those situations. He was always amazed and so thankful to God for sparing his life in those early days, that one day he should hear this good news of God's grace in Jesus Christ and be able to understand it by God's grace and receive the gift of eternal life in the person of Jesus Christ. And we can't really understand Hadley. His life as family man, his life as part of the church, unless we understand Hadley's love for God's grace and for the Lord Jesus Christ. Since Hadley's no longer here to explain that context of his life, he's left it to me to do that this afternoon. His prayer always was that others, even some of you here today, whom he loved dearly, would humble themselves, knowing their real need of this gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ, and come to Jesus and receive all that he freely gives. So what is really being offered here? Well, what is on offer is actually something deep down that each one of you are really searching for. Even if we don't recognize it and we have the wrong idea about what it is and how we should be seeking for it and go about it in the wrong way. I think this is summed up in those words that we just heard. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? That's what people all around us are doing all of the time. We come up with all sorts of ideas about what the meaning of life is, what the purpose of our life is. We come up all sorts of ways in which we're going to try and achieve those things. But the Bible tells us in the end, we'll never be satisfied. Our money will be wasted on the things that we chase after. Our energies will be wasted. And in the end, our whole lives will be wasted chasing after what ultimately doesn't satisfy our real human needs. Some of you may have experienced coming to that end of chasing after things that never satisfy. Well, instead of such futility in life, everyone, each one of us, is invited by Almighty God, the one who made us, to come, all you who are thirst, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Here we see that a real need is met. Thirst is met by water. But more than that, we see that what we cannot buy, what we haven't even got money to buy because we're paupers, is given to us freely, without money. And more than that, here we see that more than our basic needs are met. There is milk and wine to satisfy us beyond our desires. But actually, these pictures of free food, free drink, free wine, free milk, quickly change to give us the real story of what's on offer. It comes in these words: listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul your soul will delight in the richest affair. Give ear, come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. That which the world cannot satisfy and will leave you dead, God offers. If you come and listen to him, he will satisfy and give you life. You see, the true feast that God's word talks about right the way through the Bible is simply listening to the Lord, to be hearing his word, accepting his truth about himself and about our need, accepting his offer to meet our deepest need more fully than we can ever imagine, to give us life to the full and life for all eternity. And it's all for free. Hadley wasn't stupid enough to pass up a free meal. Are we foolish enough to turn down free life for all eternity? Life that really satisfies. Sadly, though, so many of us miss out on what is offered. And the problem is we're too proud. People are proud of what they're doing in making their money, in building their lives, expending their energy, doing their good, practicing their religious works. They will not take something for free because they don't want to admit they're a pauper. They can't do it for themselves. And so they go on spending their money on what doesn't satisfy. Some are too proud of their rational thinking, not wanting to be thought a fool by their friends for listening to a God they cannot see. It's a bit like having an imaginary friend, isn't it? You don't want to be mocked like that, do you? Or thinking it goes, wanting a life beyond the grave. Well, that's unscientific, isn't it? Doesn't science just tell us that death is the end? We don't want to be thought foolish, do we? I'm going to be too proud to believe those things. And maybe today, even though you've heard Hadley over the years tell you this wonderful good news of Jesus Christ, your pride is keeping you from accepting life which is freely offered to you by a loving God. The life that Hadley heard about, the life that he freely received as a young man, and we've experienced so much of his life through Hadley over the years. And actually, when you stop and think about it, it's strange. Why would anyone hold on to their pride when they understand the great cost of this free gift? You see, it's free to us, but there was a price that had to be paid. It costs us nothing, but it still has to be bought. So what's the price? How's it paid? Well, to understand this, we need to realise why we don't have life to the full as we are. Because actually, that's what God made us for. That's how he designed us, to have such life. But the reason is simple. It's because we've rejected God's thoughts and God's ways. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Because we've decided we can do without him. We don't want to listen to him. We don't want to follow his ways. And when we do that, we lose life. Because he is the life-giving God. And if you cut yourself off from him, you don't have the eternal life that he now comes to offer you. So how can he give us this life? Well, he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, into this world in time and space. That means in history. To become one of us. Stop and think what that means. If people are telling you, you can't have an imaginary friend, you have to say, Jesus is God, the Son of God. He lived in time and space in this world. He revealed God to us. He shows us what God's like. God isn't imaginary. We know him in the person of Jesus Christ, who came into this world 2,000 years ago. And having lived his life, he lived according to God's thoughts and God's ways. But then, without deserving what we receive at the moment, he gave up his life to die on the cross. He gave up his life to take what we deserve, eternal death, God's judgment and punishment in hell, Jesus took upon himself in those moments he hung upon the cross, in time, in history, so that God could freely give us life again. It's as simple as that. There was a price to be paid, and God paid it for you, for me, for anyone like us, when he sent his Son to die on the cross for us, so that we can have life beyond the grave. And God has revealed the certainty of this life, because it's not about having a dream that's unscientific, that the dead, you're dead. No, God raised Jesus to life again. And he was seen to be alive after death. He is the conqueror of death. And you have to be a fool to not see it. Because the resurrection of Jesus is the best attested fact of ancient history. Jesus' tomb was empty. Jesus was seen by his disciples over a period of 40 days in his resurrection body. Jesus spoke to them. He ate. He talked to them. His disciples were transformed from fearful men who'd run away to being bold and standing up in the very place where Jesus had been crucified and telling them that he was alive again. And you only have to look at 2,000 years of church history. A church that has been persecuted, opposed and ridiculed is still in existence today, and it's growing across the world. Why? Because there is life after death, and God has shown us in Jesus Christ and his resurrection from the dead. So Hadley was no fool. He was no fool in believing that there's a God, because Jesus lived on earth, the Son of God, showing that he was God. He was no fool to believe that it's life after death, because Jesus rose from the dead and is alive today to give that life to any of us who will turn from their own ways and simply come and receive it like a free meal. If you've remained in your pride, maybe it's because you just never heard that before. You've never heard just how valuable your life is to God, that he gave his one and only Son to die in your place, so that you don't have to go on striving in all sorts of ways to get something you can never get. Instead, you simply have to come and listen to Jesus, accept him and follow him. Will you humble yourself today? When you realize that the Son of God humbled himself, even though he was perfect, not like us, he was perfect. He humbled himself to death on the cross for people like Hadley, for people like me, for people like you. So that if we humble ourselves and simply come to him and say, yes, give me life, he gives it to you without cost, without money, because he's paid the price for you and for me. What do we have to do? Well, it simply says here, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, and he will freely pardon. So you have to give up thinking the world's thoughts and your thoughts about what life's all about and how you're going to achieve it. You have to give up your ways of going about life, and you have to come and just listen to Jesus. Listen to the Word of God as he tells you what he's done for you. And as he tells you that if you trust in him, he will come and live within you and enable you to live his way. You may not be coming to Jesus because you think, I could never do it. It's too difficult. None of us can. But he comes to be with us, to enable us to live with God's thoughts and in God's ways. That's what Hadley did all those years ago, and it brought him so much joy in his life, even through troubles and difficulties. When he recognized just how much God valued him to send his Son to die for him, it didn't mean that Hadley was perfect, but he went on listening to Jesus for the rest of his life. And now he's heard those words from Jesus, well done, good and faithful servant. to understand why Hadley's life was like it was in his family, having so much fun and all those games and enjoyment, why his life was as it was in coming to church and serving for 60 odd years in those ways where he humbled himself to do the most menial tasks. We have to understand what Hadley understood. There's a free meal. There's a free gift from God. All you have to do is come and receive it. Give up your pride. Listen to him and follow him. May we all understand and know the reality of these things as we remember Hadley today with thanksgiving. May we also know the urgency of these things, because one day it'll be us in that coffin. Are we ready to go to God? Have we received the gift that he offers? We can do even today by seeking the Lord while he may be found, receiving what we need from God, freely given in Jesus to all who accept it. Let's just be quiet and pray. We all have to deal individually with God, so in the quiet of our own hearts, maybe now is the time to give up on your pride and say yes to the free meal, the free gift that has been purchased for you by Jesus Christ. Our Father God, we thank you that as we remember Hadley and his life, we remember what you did in paying the price for Hadley's soul, that he might have eternal life and the joy of being with you forever, living life to the full as you made it to be lived. We thank you today for the free offer of grace to each one of us that is held out through your word, that any of us can come today and receive this gift that Hadley received by listening to Jesus and following him. Help us to give up on our pride, on all the things that we try and do to make ourselves look good and to satisfy ourselves, but find that they never satisfy. Help us to look to Jesus and to find that joy and peace that Hadley had in life, that strength to go on when times are tough, and the certain knowledge of going to be with you forever. We pray for Lil again and for her family in these days, weeks and months ahead, that you would be their comfort and strength. Continue to give them good memories of Hadley, and may they find peace in knowing that he is at peace. Help your people here in this church and other friends who are Christians of Hadley and Lil to keep on praying for Lil and the family. And may we know and experience the blessings of your love in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, before we sing our closing hymn, if you're in remembrance of Hadley and thanksgiving for his life, you want to make a gift, the family has asked that those go to Cancer Research UK. There's a box over the side there which says offerings on it. That'll be collected up and given to the family to give to the Cancer Research UK. Everyone's invited to stay for refreshments. There's through the double doors on your left. There's plenty of food there that's been provided free by the family. Don't be a fool and miss out on it. Come through. There are those picture compilations of Hadley as his life with the family and his life with the church. Go through and enjoy those refreshments. Let's stand and sing a wonderful opening hymn that sums up, a closing hymn that sums up the message. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not, my Lord was crucified. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Maybe